It's pretty sad when CEOs in our country, business leaders, job creators in our country are afraid of what they might say and have a government come down on them.
Hi, I'm Ted Ballacher with Reason TV, and today I'll be sitting down with Brian Kaye. Kaye is a columnist and editorial writer for the Orange County Register and producer of the CEO Solutions series. All right, Brian, why don't you tell me about your CEO series?
The biggest issue on everyone's mind today is job creation. President Obama is trying to create jobs from the government level, and all of his jobs are essentially government jobs or temporary jobs subsidized by the government. And so I said, well, who are the real job creators? Let's go meet with the CEOs, the small business people, who are making the jobs work, who are actually creating jobs in our country. And so we decided that we were going to create the CEO Solution Series. We started it with the CEO of Broadcom. We've done the CEO of Allergan, the CEO of Edwards Life Sciences, people who are in sectors that are growing now, technology and biotech sectors, which are growing now, who are creating jobs. And so, hey, I said, let's talk to them, see what they have to say. And some of the stuff that they said was pretty startling.
What did they say? What was startling?
The startling part was that they have the opportunity to expand, and they could expand, but they're questioning whether or not they would expand here meaning in California, here meaning in the United States. I think historically, if things weren't good in California, you'd move to somewhere where it was more favorable, like Nevada. But now they're saying, you know, this is a global marketplace. We're a global company. We don't have to be in the U.S. We could go to India. We can go to Thailand. We can go anywhere else where market conditions are more favorable. And so these companies are companies. I think Broadcom hired 400 new people last year in California. These are companies like Allergan who hired, I think, a few hundred people in California as well. And now, given market conditions and regulatory conditions specifically, the Allergan in particular for Obamacare, the passage, is thinking to themselves, well, this is going to impact my industry. You know, the U.S. isn't necessarily the best place to be anymore.
Can you get into that a little bit more? How specifically would it affect them?
They were saying that, you know, I think it's billions and billions of dollars in taxes for them to innovate in the United States.
Is this the medical device tax?
The medical device tax. And that would affect both Allergan and Edwards Life Sciences. Obviously, both CEOs were very clear. They'd like to expand their companies and they would like to grow their companies in the United States. But in a situation where the government or government policies in particular are hindering that growth, the choice is pretty clear.
They don't just make these decisions lightly. I mean, there are all sorts of reasons to stay put, from family ties to customer base and so on. So this is a big deal if they up and leave.
Oh, it would be a huge deal, both for, I mean, workers in our country and for our economy. It would be a huge deal. And they're not taking these decisions lightly. And every CEO I've talked to is very, very careful in what they say. Obviously, they have to be. They're careful in terms of saying that they love this country, they love being in this country, they love what they've been able to create in this country. But they're also, their responses are very nuanced because they're the public face of their company. But the underlying story is kind of what they're not saying, and what they don't say or what they infer from our conversations is that, you know, let's clean it up or we're clearing out.
I come across this a lot too when we talk to business owners for pieces that we do. They'll say one thing to me on the phone, then I say, can we get that on camera? And they clam up.
Yeah.
You've, in talking with you previously, I know you've come across quite a lot of this. What is sort of the unsaid that we won't see in your CEO series?
The common thread is they're afraid to say certain things on camera that they think would put them in a position to be targeted by bureaucrats, targeted by either the state, the state government or the federal administration. Things like speaking too unkindly about specific provisions in Obamacare, speaking too unkindly about specific regulations in the state of California. I've had a few CEOs say that they didn't want to do the series because they thought that it made them too vulnerable. It's pretty sad when CEOs in our country, business leaders, job creators in our country are afraid of what they might say and have a government come down on them.
Are there things that specific things that they're really worried about?
Yeah, you know, the most interesting interview, and it was kind of the inspiration for the series and continuing on in the series, was the interview with Scott McGregor, who's the CEO of Broadcom. And he actually outlined three areas where he thought that government could do things a little bit differently that would help his business. Obviously, which is something that a lot of California CEOs talk about, which is the tax code in California. The tax code in California is egregious compared to many other states, and he said that reforming the corporate tax code, or at least bringing it in line with other states, would be very helpful in terms of them being able to hire more, and to use more of their capital towards investment and innovation, which would be critical for a technology company. The second thing, which I think is the most interesting thing that's come out of the CEO Solutions series so far, was when he told me that one simple switch in California labor law would make them more competitive globally, which is that you probably already know this, but California labor law is a little bit more intense than the federal standards. And all he wants is for California to regulate itself to the federal standard. Right now in California, they have the provision that you can't work more than an 8-hour work day without being paid overtime. Whereas the federal standards view this on a weekly basis, so it's a 40-hour work week. So all he's saying is he wants to be able to go to the federal standards, because in their industry, they need to have someone maybe working 4 days a week, 10 hours a day.
And the interesting thing about that is it ends up hurting a lot of workers who want the 4-day work week, but their bosses might leave to places like Oregon, where they don't have this particular provision, because as you mentioned, after the 8 hours, boom, you're on overtime now.
Exactly. And I mean, I was, when he was telling me this, I was like, oh, I work more than 10 hours every day. I thought that was just kind of commonplace, but no, I mean, they're
being exploited. Bro.
Yeah, being exploited. Don't tell my boss. But yeah, so I think that that was the biggest thing that came out of it, which is just a tiny little tweak like that. Something that workers want in that field, something that would help us be more globally competitive, and something that the leadership of this company is saying would be workable, and they still can't get that type of a change.
So Broadcom CEO mentioned three things: the labor law, the corporate income tax. Did we mention the third?
No, the third was education. And so he and I might differ a little bit on this one, but he thought that we need to see public education a little bit more invested in terms of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics education or proficiency. And I'd agree. I think one of the biggest areas where we need to grow as a country is in our STEM education: science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. The current way in which our public education system works and where the money comes from and the federal involvement isn't something that I'm very excited about per se, but from his perspective, it's something that needs to be invested about.
And there's this widespread myth that corporate CEOs are these cheerleaders for laissez-faire policies. Of course, they're willing to rig the game in their favor just like anyone else. So there is, I think that's another interesting aspect of your series, the areas in which these big businesses are actually benefiting from the kind of collusion with big government.
Absolutely, yeah. That's become part of the part of the frustrating part of it, because you go into these meetings kind of wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, and you're like, yeah, these guys they're free market. They wanna change the playing field. They wanna change this regulatory framework. Whereas, in many cases, to their credit, they do. In other cases, there are regulations that are benefiting them.
Well, they're self-interested. So when it helps them, they want freer markets. When it hurts them, they want regulations.
Exactly. It's like Morton Blackwell would say, the status consensus in our country. And I think the status consensus in Washington, D.C., but there's also a status consensus among CEOs in our country, that if it benefits them, or if they can get a regulation passed or a law passed that will hurt their competition, the more the better.
There are all sorts of regulations that CEOs know that they have to deal with, but then there's the unknown. Mm-hmm. What's going to come down the pipeline out of Sacramento or DC in the future? How much does this issue of uncertainty weigh on them?
Oh, I think uncertainty is huge for the CEOs, especially in California, because it's a two-pronged death, so to speak, whereas they're waiting for Sacramento to kind of try to close a budget deficit, which will likely be on the backs of business in California, which are already overtaxed and overregulated. And then they also have to worry about what's going to happen with the Obama administration and the federal level. So you see a lot of CEOs saying, we hired X number of people last year. Not sure how many we're going to hire this year. We're going to kind of wait things out and see what's going to happen. A lot of CEOs are saying, and this is one of those off-camera things that you mentioned, they frankly want to wait until after the election and see what happens in November to see whether or not they expand in California, whether or not they expand outside of California, whether or not they expand outside of the United States. So the uncertainty in the marketplace is definitely impacting job creation. And unemployment numbers, and definitely, I think, our broader economic recovery. And that's lockstep. Every single CEO has mentioned in one way or another the uncertainty in the marketplace, be it the healthcare bill, be it financial regulations, be it what's going on in Sacramento. It's scary when those people who are the ones who are really going to drive the economic recovery of our country and get people back to work are saying, we're going to hold off a bit because we don't know what our government's going to do.